Herodotus gives us some insight into the logistics and engineering feats necessary to transport such an enormous army. And he could well have gleaned this information from Persian sources as well, because these are the types of subjects that kings like to write about. Xerxes ordered a pontoon bridge of boats built across the Hellespont so that his army could walk from Asia to Europe rather than sailing across this narrow gap between the two continents. Herodotus writes that the cables were made from papyrus and flax, and that the Phoenicians and Egyptians were charged with its construction. We've seen such specialists assigned to tasks like this before. So again, this makes us wonder if Herodotus had access to real records from Persia. Xerxes' other logistical feat was a canal that was dug across the Athos Peninsula in northern Greece. And this canal would allow boats to be dragged across the land rather than sailing around this dangerous part of northern Greece. And remember, this is exactly where his father's navy had sunk in the previous invasion. Traces of this canal have been identified, and they're currently being explored by the Greek Archaeological Service. On the journey to Greece, the historian passes on to us many stories about Xerxes' temper. Usually, these scenes end in the horrific murder of some innocent victim. And Herodotus does this deliberately to show what sort of enemy Xerxes is. For example, a Lydian man named Pythias contributed all of his money to Xerxes' campaign. Xerxes was initially delighted. Here is someone who's volunteering to help out my attack against Greece. And he was so thrilled that he returned the funds and even added to them, because the Lydian had been so generous without being asked. Later on, however, when Pythias asked Xerxes to allow his eldest son to stay behind to help care for Pythias as he aged, Xerxes was enraged. He screamed at the man, "Look at me! I am going in person to make war on Greece. How dare you mention a son of yours when you are no more than my slave?" The man's prior contributions saved him and four of his sons, but the eldest son was killed. His body was split in half, and the Persian army marched through it as a way to convey what would happen to those who did not fully support Xerxes. These actions would have seemed arbitrary and despotic to most Greeks. Since most parts of Greece had rejected monarchy, but this sort of behavior would show them what the worst possible scenario would be if Xerxes won. So this focus on slavery comes up again and again in the rhetoric of the Persians and the Greeks talking about the Persians, that if they have a king, and that king is Xerxes, they will be enslaved. They will lose their freedom. If we look at this episode from Xerxes' point of view, it's really not that illogical. It does show that Xerxes balanced all of the man's actions, just as Darius had set out in his inscription of a model behavior for a king. Xerxes was endangering his own life, and we know that at least two of Xerxes' brothers died in the war against Greece. So the king and his family were involved in this campaign. And he could easily have been offended that one of his subjects was trying to weasel out of some obligation. To the Greeks, once again, this idea of Xerxes' anger and rage and his arbitrary behavior would have raised the level of concern about having the Persians control Greece. Many areas of Greece surrendered to the Persians even before their military engagement, just as they had a decade earlier. So even though the Greeks had won against the Persians